Radio Prague News. The clash of wills between the President and Prime Minister over who should lead the health sector continues. The Czech-born financial magnate Viktor Kožený, who is wanted for extensive fraud and bribery, will remain in custody in the Bahamas. And the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has expressed concern over the fact that the Czech Republic cancelled at short notice a working visit by an international anti-corruption team. The clash of wills between the President and Prime Minister over who should lead the Czech health sector continues. President Klaus refused to appoint the Prime Minister's nominee, David Rath, on Thursday, citing conflict of interest since Mr. Rath heads the main doctors' association, the Czech Medical Chamber. The Prime Minister first sought a way around the rejection, appointing Mr. Rath Deputy Health Minister, then re-nominated him for the post of Health Minister on Friday, threatening legal action to push the appointment through. Both the Prime Minister and President have said they are ready to call in the Constitutional Court to resolve the dispute. The Czech-born financial magnate Viktor Kožený, who is wanted for extensive fraud and bribery both in the Czech Republic and the United States, will remain in custody in the Bahamas. A local court judge refused to release Kožený on bail and set December the 5th as the deadline by which the Bahamian Foreign Ministry is to submit evidence in support of a U.S. request for Kožený's extradition. The Czech-born fugitive billionaire faces prosecution in the United States after squandering millions of dollars from American investors in Azeri privatization schemes. The Czech Republic has failed in its efforts to get Kožený extradited and tried here in the Czech Republic. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development has expressed concern over the fact that the Czech Republic cancelled at short notice a working visit by an international anti-corruption team. An OECD team of experts in fighting corruption were expected to make a routine fact-finding mission to several Czech ministries and key institutions in the first half of October. The visit was cancelled by the Czech authorities, citing technical problems. The OECD has asked for a new date as soon as possible. A recent report published by Transparency International suggests that the country has a serious problem fighting corruption. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Sunday is expected to be partly cloudy to overcast with day temperatures between 14 and 18 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague and my name's Dita Siedu. Up next, the dangers of kinky sex. You may have to call the police to help you out of a difficult situation. Are you off to the country? Use your deodorant, please. Wild animals can't stand the smell of human sweat. And who is the Czech Prime Minister furious with? That's in Magazine with Daniela Lazarová. In the ABC of Czech, in which you learn all the necessary vocabulary related to food and cuisine, we look at what's served on the Christmas table. And you'll also have another chance to hear about the interesting life of black storks from an ornithologist in this week's One-on-One.
The smell of human sweat is not alluring, but in the town of Bila, they can't get enough of it. A highly concentrated form of human perspiration is being produced artificially for local farmers, who use it to keep wild animals, such as deer and wild boar, out of their fields. Safeguarding the crops from them was a near impossible task, and the losses amounted to around 15% until they tried planting vials of human scent or sweat all over the field. It worked perfectly and the animals kept well away. In the past, people toiled in the fields all day and the human scent got there naturally. Now that everything is done by machinery, we have to plant it there artificially in order to get the same effect, one of the farmers explained. And to give chemical plants their due, the scent is really powerful. People asked to smell it in the streets of Prague recalled with horror, taking wild guesses as to what the source could be. A combination of dead rats, dirty socks, and bad eggs. Well, no wonder it works. Candles, roses, and dinner for two, followed by a night of sizzling sex. That was how a young couple from Prague planned to spend their time together. Everything went according to plan. The dinner was perfect and the sex was great. The problem arose when one of them decided to get more champagne, and the guy couldn't find the key to the handcuffs that he'd used to chain his 17-year-old girlfriend. A desperate search of the flat ensued, as well as many attempts to unlock the handcuffs with a hairpin. In the early morning, the unhappy couple was forced to call the police and admit their plight. The officers were there in minutes, discreetly freed the young woman and left, but not without having a good laugh and spilling the beans to the media. So, if you decide to engage in kinky sex, do try and remember where you put the keys. It makes a big difference to the end of your evening. The Prime Minister is furious with the organiser of the summer techno party Czech Tech, Stanislav Bence. After the police intervened to disperse the party, leaving dozens of injured on both sides, Bence made public the Prime Minister's private cell phone number. In the coming days, as the Prime Minister took the flak for the police intervention, his cell phone never stopped ringing as techno fans made non-stop pest calls, as well as sending hundreds of vulgar SMS messages. The Prime Minister is now suing Bence for violation of privacy. Some of the situations that traffic police officers have to deal with are really beyond belief. Last week, a couple of officers on duty noticed a very strange vehicle moving erratically up the road, veering from one end to the other. It had no registration plate and half-empty tyres. It was going up a street called the Street of Czechoslovak Exiles when the police gave chase. The driver suddenly parked on a zebra crossing, moreover in the opposite lane, got out of the car waving a half-empty carton of red wine, and was obviously determined to continue his journey on foot. When the officers asked to see his papers, the drunk driver attempted to run away, but he bumped head-on into a nearby tree and had to be taken to hospital for treatment. When the officers demanded an explanation, he said, "Sorry, guys, but I was so drunk I had no idea what I was doing." The man did not have a driver's license, the car he was driving was not registered, and the car's number plate was an old one that his friend had lent him for the trip. Meanwhile, elsewhere, traffic officers who were checking out vehicles along the Vltava embankment had to deal with an even worse situation. A very drunk young man suddenly appeared waving a grenade that he claimed to have found. "Hello there, guys, guess what I have?" he called out to the officers. What he had was fairly obvious, and the officer spent 10 minutes trying to make him put it down gently, while he yelled, "It's real, guys, it's real!" It took another 10 minutes to make him relinquish his find, which he wanted to go and show his friends. And when a team of experts arrived on the spot, they found that the grenade was indeed a very real artillery grenade. When a passenger train crashes into a bulldozer, who comes out of the crash worsted. The accident happened on the suburbs of Prague last week, allegedly caused by the signalman on duty. Thankfully, there were no casualties, but the driver's cabin of the passenger train was badly damaged to the tune of approximately 200,000 crowns. The bulldozer proved to be hardier and sustained damage estimated at around 5,000. Billboards ridiculing the ruling Social Democratic Party and highlighting their possible cooperation with the communists after next year's general elections have appeared in various parts of Prague and on the D1 highway from Prague to Brno. One billboard shows the Social Democrat Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek as a bride with Miroslav Grebeníček, until recently the head of the Communist Party, as the groom. Another shows a former memorial to the Soviet dictator Stalin, whose head has been replaced by Paroubek's and who is flanked by the former Communist Party leader Grebeníček, the first communist president Klement Gottwald, and a Martian. The last is linked to the Prime Minister's recent statement that he would push his government's bills through with the support of anybody available, even the Martians, if they should descend upon us, as he put it. The opposition Civic Democrats are widely believed to be the authors of this latest campaign, although they have not officially acknowledged it as their own. They have, however, acknowledged commissioning and paying for two previous billboard campaigns poking fun of the ruling party, such as Czech Tech in every village, and You Can Blame the Ruling Social Democrats for the State of This Highway. Well, with the elections due next June, it may turn out to be a long, hot winter.
Long, hot winter is fine with me. And if the politicians prove to have a sense of humour, even better. And if I spend the time with the usual heaps of Christmas goodies, excellent. Those of you who'll be in the Czech Republic Christmas season should definitely listen carefully now, as Pavla Horáková tells you how to name all the delicious food in Czech. Welcome to the ABC of Czech, in which this season we explore Czech vocabulary related to food and cuisine. The series is slowly drawing to a close, but it would not be complete without a look at the Czech Christmas table.
Vánoční stůl.
So even though Christmas is still some time away, it will be our topic for today. As usual, I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková.
The most important festive day in Czech tradition is Christmas Eve.
Štědrý den.
Or generous day. Despite its name, one is supposed to be very modest when it comes to food. Legend has it that if you fast all day on Christmas Eve, you will be able to see a golden pig in the evening.
Zlaté prasátko.
Only a few people respect that tradition these days, but many eat meatless dishes for lunch, such as
houbokuba,
a traditional meal made from barley and mushrooms. In the past, people ate, for example, apple strudel,
jablečný závin,
or
strudel,
or a typical Czech Christmas cake,
vánočka.
By the evening, everyone has worked up their appetite for the festive dinner of fried carp,
smažený kapr,
with potato salad,
bramborový salát.
Some families also have fish soup,
rybí polévka.
Czechs are not great fish eaters, so some people prefer Wiener Schnitzel,
vepřový řízek,
on their Christmas Eve table. In the Czech Republic, too, Christmas has become a feast of consumption to some extent, and the main cause of those extra pounds one has to lose in January are Christmas cookies.
Vánoční cukroví.
Which you can't escape, because even if you don't bake your own, your colleagues and friends will bring you their samples. There are dozens of varieties, and every family has slightly different recipes. Many women start baking the Christmas cookies as early as the beginning of December. By Christmas, they have to bake a new batch, because the first one will have mysteriously disappeared. There is no fixed tradition as to meals on Christmas Day or Boxing Day, but roast duck,
pečená kachna,
is a favorite feature. And we've covered the most important Christmas food vocabulary. And next time, we'll take a look at the New Year's table. Till then,
dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
Oh boy, I've just had a snack and could eat again. Pavla Horáková and Zuzana Durčagová there with the ABC of Czech. And if you're fascinated by storks, don't go away, as there's lots on them coming up now in One-on-One with Jan Wellinger.
In today's One-on-One, my guest is ornithologist Lubomír Peške, who has been involved at practically every stage of the Odyssey projects, a series of tracking expeditions supported strongly by Czech radio and greeted enthusiastically by listeners, that uses satellite to monitor the lives of black storks. These days, projects include New Odyssey, tracking specimens traveling south from Mongolia to winter. But in this interview, we discussed the project's first inception, African Odyssey, which tracked birds flying from the Czech Republic to countries in Africa. That was the first time anyone had attempted to track black storks by satellite for a longer period of time. Lubomír Peške, One-on-One.
10 years ago, when we started with the African Odyssey, it was very little known about bird migration. Of course, there were results from ringing recoveries, and for black storks we had only few recoveries from Africa. And it was the time when satellite tracking was already known, but not very frequently used. There were only few ornithological projects using satellite telemetry. And in that time we decided that it's a really good tool to know much more, not only where these birds are flying, but also what is the landscape there, what is the threat for them, what is the problem, what is the competition. And that's why we decided to follow black storks during their migration to Africa. There were some limits, of course. The first one was that this bird should be big enough to carry this extra load, because in that time the smallest satellite transmitters were only 70 grams.
How did you come in as a zoologist?
At the beginning there were talks about three friends. Their background was zoology, ornithology, and the main problem was, is it technically possible? Finally we found some sponsors. Czech radio was one of the main actors. It was a very great idea of Mary Bobek that we should give names to storks, and if we will follow a fate, a history of one particular bird, this bird can become friend for many children and also friend for us.
One of the storks in the first group was called Christina, and I understand that she was the first bird monitored ever for a longer period with that kind of satellite monitoring device.
It's true. In that time, all satellite transmitters were charged by batteries. The lifespan of these transmitters was, in general, 1 or 2 years. So what was necessary, it was to catch after 1 year, when the bird has returned back to breeding area, catch it again and replace the transmitter. And fortunately, we were able to catch Christina again, because at the beginning we had three birds. All of them reached winter grounds in Africa. All of them returned back home. Christina became famous not in the first year, but because we were able to catch her again, because after return she was breeding, we caught her again next year, so we could follow her for almost 4 years. Kristina was from Central Bohemia, Viktor was from Rakovník area in western part of Czech Republic, and Zuzana was from northwest.
Where did Kristina choose to go in Africa, and what do you know about her adventures?
Well, of course, big stork is quite different species, quite different behavior, and they fly single or in very small groups. And what we found, and what was quite surprising, we clearly proved that Kristina flew to Africa using different ways. Once she crossed Pyrenees Mountains east, next year west. So she followed different trajectories over Sahara, different routes, but she always ended in the same water body in eastern Senegal. And this is place where we found her in the first year. We followed her by cars, almost step by step, day by day, almost 2 months in expedition following her. And at the beginning of expedition, we didn't know where we go, of course. In general, we knew that black storks are wintering south of Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
But when we were preparing our expedition, we had visa for Senegal, Mali, Mauritania, and different countries. And we crossed Sahara, and we found her in eastern Senegal near Faleme River. And there is a very nice village, Jakaling, without electricity, without anything. We reached this Jakaling by foot because there was no road for cars. And Kristina was wintering in this area. And next year or next winter, she was always returning to the same place. So it is clear that some species like black storks, they know one place, it is breeding site, just a very small area in Europe. And for wintering, they know another very small restricted area in Africa somewhere. Kristina,
it's amazing,
knew eastern Senegal. And we know from other birds that they, for example, like Zuzana, she was always wintering in central Ethiopia. Where will be the wintering area? It is a result of, let's say, more or less random way
mm-hmm.
in the first year.
And then they repeat it.
And they, after that, they know it and they repeat it again and again.
Here we are talking about the stork surviving.
Yeah.
It must have been an adventure just for those of you on the ground to survive as well, because here you were crossing, as you say, the Sahara.
Yeah, well, this was certainly a good adventure. It was, you know, in the year 95, new situation for all people in our country, and we discovered these areas for us, because not too many people visited these areas. And especially what I can say and what I appreciate, these black storks, it was not only Senegal, we were in Ethiopia and Chad, in other African countries. These black storks showed us remaining places or corners in Africa where we could see something what is quickly disappearing,
mm-hmm.
you know, nature and also local tribes that are living in Iron Age, you know, with very, very rural condition. Africa is changing quite quickly, deforestation, overpopulation. It's changing the nature in Africa. So it's not very easy. Even if you have general information from satellites that bird should be in this area, and even if you use this conventional telemetry, so you are looking for the signal by antenna, it's not clear that you will find the bird. So I was always satisfied when we had a problem, when we had, for example, days without signal, and finally we found the bird. I feel very happy in Chad because we had really problems in traveling in mm-hmm. Chad because there are no roads. And finally, we were slowly approaching to the place where we expected our bird and we had a signal.
that's it again from Radio Prague's English service. Please do not hesitate to send us your comments or questions to english@radio.cz or to 12099 Prague 2 in the Czech Republic. But you may also want to check out our website, www.radio.cz/English, which is quite useful and has almost everything we air, reports and features, in both sound and text. Looking forward to hearing from you. My name is Dita Asiedu. Until next time, it's bye-bye and happy listening.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Six heures vingt-sept, Europe. 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe. 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre. 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.